Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity Replacement Windows, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, AceTicket.com, WFXT TV, and Mohegan Sun.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Workday just got a little bit longer, Jim Murray. You know that, right? Got a little bit longer?
Yes, sir.
We got the extra hour now till 7 o'clock every night. Jim Murray will be alongside here on the Baseball Reporters. Jimmy Stewart stays an extra hour. Billy Lanny stays an extra hour. I was wondering why you guys were so pissed off today. You know the start of it. Baseball season, Baseball Reporters begins tonight. We will be with you for as long as the Red Sox are playing games. However long that is. They go through October, we go through October.
October 14th.
So there you go. Jimmy's already got a... He's planned a vacation for the 15th, Murray. That's how it works. He's planned a vacation for the 15th. He wants it over sooner rather than later. In the interim, 617-779-0985. Jimmy, open up the phones right away. It's been a long time since we've spoken with the baseball fans and Red Sox fans of Boston, which we will begin tonight. And Murray, I want to start with you with an email I received last week while I was away. I was away at the end of last week, sort of the calm before the storm, right? Took a little breather, got a little blow, because I know starting tonight, 5-hour days, Murray, 25-hour week.
Time to grind.
Okay, so I got this email from some guy named Derek. This was on Thursday at 2:30 in the afternoon, at which point I was on the golf course. And nonetheless, I saw the email. It tells you how much of a loser I am. But that aside, thank God Tony is out today, he writes. Felger is strawmanning the bleep out of the Red Sox media. It's bad enough. I still have no idea why Tony does the Baseball Reporters, the highest and only nightly baseball show in Boston in the city, he puts in. I still have no idea why Tony does the Baseball Reporters if he hates the team so much.
Because the money's that good.
From Eric. So let me ask you a very simple question, Murray. Do you think I hate the Red Sox?
No.
How would you categorize my relationship with the Red Sox, Murray?
You were critical of the team when they deserve to be criticized.
Would you say it's love-hate? Would you say it's a love-hate relationship?
Yeah, I think that that's a pretty fair assessment right now.
See, I would describe it as a love-hate relationship because, believe it or not, look, like everyone else, I grew up in this market. I want the team to do well. I don't want them to do poorly, despite what you believe. I want them to do well. I look forward to the start of every season.
Maz, I would say you care too much about the Red Sox.
So that might be really what it is. Okay, it comes out as distaste or hate for the Red Sox. I don't hate the Red Sox. I don't hate the ownership group. But I do expect them to meet a certain standard every single year. I do. They have plenty of resources. They charge a bunch for tickets. And to me, the last couple of years have ended in disappointing fashion. So let me just tell you, like everyone, I went into the offseason expecting certain things. I wanted Giancarlo Stanton. I wanted Stanton. He ended up with the Yankees, of all people. The Yankees, who to me are now among the top three or four teams in baseball, in all probability, based on their roster. But it doesn't mean that they're going to win it. Because as we all know, you still have to play the games. And so, I would tell you about this Red Sox team. Do I think they had a great offseason? No. But my problem is that I don't hate the Red Sox. I am a sucker at the end of the day. Because when the season starts, I will forget all about the fact that Giancarlo Stanton didn't end up here, at least in the short term, or at least until he homers against him in April. Then I'll change my mind. But that said, the Red Sox have who they have, and they are, for all of the things I have said about them this offseason, they are a good team. Like, I almost feel the analysis of the Red Sox or the discussion about the Red Sox has gone too far in the opposite direction. Like, somehow it seems as if people are talking about them like they suck. And they don't suck. They might not be great. But believe it or not, I think this team does have a chance. They have a chance, but they're going to need some things to go right for them, too. Okay, so 617-779-0985. I see a couple of you already lined up. We'll get to your calls throughout the course of the program. In the interim, I have a lot I want to get to. We have some new features on the program this year, this season, which we will get to over the course of the hour. But one of the things I want to do, and we try to do with regularity, is update you on any news developments with the Red Sox throughout the course of the day. And so, Murray, why don't you tell us quickly if any news came out of camp today on the Red Sox?
Well, the two things that are pertinent is that we already knew Chris Sale, David Price, Rick Porcello, they'll be starting the season's first three games. Now they're going to be followed by Hector Velasquez and Brian Johnson. Alex Cora met with the pitching coach today and determined Velasquez matched up better against the Rays, Johnson against the Marlins.
So Velasquez will pitch the fourth game. Johnson will start the series in Miami.
Correct. And the only other noteworthy thing is that knuckleballer Stephen Wright went to New York today to receive a PRP injection in his knee. He's going to open the season on the disabled list, so that means his 15-game suspension can't begin until he's healthy and on the active roster.
Okay, so again, in the case of Stephen Wright, you're not going to see him for the month of April then. That's what that really means. He's opening the year on the DL, and then he's going to be suspended. So Wright is out for the month of April, and then there are already two other guys on the DL, Pomeranz and Eduardo Rodriguez, both on the 10-day DL.
Right.
And if I read it correctly, the Red Sox are hoping that it won't be a stint much longer than that. So in other words, when the 10 days are up, those extra 10 days might be enough to get those guys ready for the start of the season. Okay, now, that said, I want to begin this season like we do many others, with a very sort of simple, generic, but in this case, I think, important question with regard to the Red Sox. And that is, simply, with regard to this team in 2018, what do you expect? I want to know what you expect. Do you think they're good enough to win the whole thing? If things broke right, could they win the whole thing? Do you think at best they're a wild card team? Do you think they're going to miss the playoffs? Do you think they're going to win the division again? Because I know exactly how I feel about this team. Exactly. So I will tell you, I don't expect them to win the division. I think the Yankees are better. But I do think they are a threat to win it all if it breaks right. Now look, a lot of things that have to go right. But if J.D. Martinez hits, the whole thing changes. The whole equation changes if J.D. Martinez is the hitter he was in the second half of last year in Arizona. I don't know if he will be or he won't, and I'm not going to make a prediction. But if he is, that lineup will get infinitely better, and do not dismiss the ripple effect on the entire team if all of a sudden they have a guy in the middle of the lineup who's jacking balls out of the ballpark. Now, can Martinez do that? I don't know. And I have my doubts about his fit at Fenway Park, which we'll get to in a minute. In fact, he has his doubts about how well he fits at Fenway Park. But if Martinez hits, it's going to go a long way towards changing the makeup of that team. And as we know, they have a new manager in Alex Cora, who honestly I think has had a pretty good camp. But is Cora alone enough to change anything? If Cora were here and J.D. Martinez were not, believe me when I tell you that I'd be pissed. I'd still be pissed about Giancarlo Stanton. They needed a bat. I don't love the option that they took, but at least they got one. Cora's had a good camp, but we'll see whether or not really that can translate as much as the Red Sox believe it will once we start the regular season. Okay, 617-779-0985. We will kick it off this season with Andrew, who's in Lowell. He's on line two. Andrew, what do you got?
Yeah, you know, we had our fantasy baseball draft last night. You know, and the question of the night was, on a scale of one, are you about the Martinez signing? General consensus was, you know, five, six. You know, one of the guys actually said who. You know, it was sort of just kind of the general feeling of it. Like, we're kind of excited about him, but not, you know, didn't move the needle too much. You know, obviously we all wanted Stanton, just like you said.
Okay, so look, Andrew, he doesn't move the needle. He does, in terms of the interest in the team, and again, this is sort of an additional storyline that'll take place with the Red Sox throughout the course of this year. Stanton would have given them a buzz. And I think you've noticed this spring, the Red Sox have gone out of their way to make sure that they are improving the image of the ball club. They've made a concerted effort to do this. Whether it's players joking around during the photo shoot or the various off-field and image types of things that the team is doing. Hell, just the hiring of Cora alone is done, at least in part, to enhance the image of the club. John Henry, the owner, talked about the manager and the coaching staff this spring as if the manager and the coaching staff were a major problem a year ago. And I think they were a problem, but I don't think that they just changing managers and coaches is going to all of a sudden turn the Red Sox into the 27 Yankees. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think that clearly the Red Sox are intent on making some sort of statement about the whole culture with the team and the buzz factor with the team. So Stanton would have changed that a hell of a lot more than J.D. Martinez. Stanton's a rock star. Okay, he's a rock star. But if Martinez hits, none of us will care. None of us will care. As long as J.D. Martinez does his part, nobody will care. And Alex Cora, rookie or not, at the manager's post in that dugout, will come off as the best manager in recent Red Sox history, short of Terry Francona, if J.D. Martinez hits. It's really one of the biggest questions on the team. And there are a lot of them. Yeah, to me, you know, Martinez's ability to really become that guy in the middle of the lineup might be number one. Price, Bogarts, those guys are critical guys on this team. Okay, absolutely huge, huge guys for the Red Sox on this team in 2018. And the manager? I mean, he can't lose in some ways based on what some of his former players are saying about the environment at Fenway last year. Dustin Pedroia had some interesting things to say. We'll get to those when we come back, and your phone calls on the Baseball Reporters.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Going to get right to your phone calls, and I want to get to these comments by Dustin Pedroia about the final year under John Farrell, because obviously they relate to Alex Cora. But before I do that, I asked a question earlier. What do you expect from the Red Sox this year? Because frankly, I feel like the Red Sox have alienated a lot of their fans. And when I say alienated, in some ways through the actions on the field, you know, and off the field, David Price, Dennis Eckersley, Dustin Pedroia in Baltimore, all of that. But also in their performance. So they're a good team. The problem is that we want great. It's not like they suck. They've won the division 2 years in a row, and they've won, what, 93 games, I think it is? I mean, that's a good baseball team. But they've gotten to the playoffs and lost in the division round 2 years in a row, and frankly have not been all that competitive. They got swept by Cleveland 2 years ago, and last year they lost in four, albeit to the eventual world champions. But they really, in the first couple of games of that series, did not look competitive. So, Murray, let me ask you, like, what do they have to do to make you interested in them again? Do they have to win the whole thing?
Yeah, pretty much.
They got to win the whole thing.
Or they got to get pretty deep, but I don't expect them to do that. I think they're going to be out in the first round yet again. I think they're going to be a wild card team.
Okay, so to me, they don't have to win the whole thing to get people interested again, but they've got to get deep. They've got to make
I don't need a title, but I need a better showing than the last couple of postseasons.
I mean, we want the title.
Sure.
Who doesn't? Of course you want the title.
But these last couple of postseasons were pathetic.
They got to make us believe that they're on the level of the best teams in the game. That's what they have to do. They have the highest payroll in baseball. They have a young core that they talked about forever, and that started to come around at the end of 2015. Then they came out in 2016 and won the division, and everybody thought, okay, here we go. They got their asses kicked in the playoffs. They went through a regular season last year that, while overall on paper it was good, was really alienating. I mean, really. People got sick of that team and the way they acted. Then they get into the playoffs again and get their asses kicked. So we sort of look at them and say, well, they're either bland or unlikable. They can't win in the playoffs, and it doesn't feel like there's a great way to improve them. So now here they are, and what I need to know is that with the amount of money they've spent and the amount of talent they have, that they are on par, at least, with the best teams in baseball. They need to go toe-to-toe with Houston. They need to go toe-to-toe with the Yankees and the Dodgers, and they got to be right there. Now, look, I can't guarantee they get into the postseason, all of a sudden they win. How the hell can you guarantee that in March? I mean, who can do that? Nobody can do that. But there should be a certain expectation that, no, they're as good as anybody, and we need to see that. They need to convince us that they are on the same level as the best teams in baseball. To me, that's the only way I can phrase it. Prove to me that you belong in the same conversation with Houston, New York, Cleveland, L.A., with those teams, the teams that, frankly, have beaten you the last couple of years. Show me that you can play with those guys. Because up to now, it hasn't feel like it hasn't felt like you could. Let me squeeze in a call here quickly. Jim's in a car. Jim, what do you got?
Hey, Maz, first off, I don't appreciate you getting a little Babe Ruth in your shorts when you talk about the Yankees winning the division. I think J.D. Martinez will hit. He's a proven commodity. He's going to be good this year.
Jim, is he proven?
Why isn't he? He's been around for, like, five, 6 years? He's a slugger. Like, he can – I know he was in Arizona, and it's a, you know, a home run park, but why can't he hit here? Like, he's going to be fine.
Okay, so I'll give you the – Jim, I'll give you the specifics in a bit, but how many years has he hit 30 home runs or more in consecutive years? Or how many times has he hit 30 more home runs in consecutive years?
I don't think he has.
Zero. Zero. All so right. so no, I'm reluctant to say that he's proven, but go ahead.
Fine. Is Aaron Judge what you think he's going to be? Because he was good in the first half, and he stunk in the second half. So why is he like, I mean, no one talks about him. He's streaky. Aren't pitchers going to figure him out? Aren't they going to get him out?
It's a fair question. Yeah. Who would you rather have, J.D. Martinez or Aaron Judge?
Yeah, J.D. Martinez.
Okay.
Oh, I know.
Okay. So look, and I'm not telling you J.D. Martinez sucks. He's a good player. The problem is the Red Sox have lots of good players. They need a great player. They need a great player. They need a rock star and a guy who changes the game. Okay? That's the kind of guy they need. I don't know if he's that guy. We'll see. Collins in Andover.
Tony, love to have you back, babe. Murray, keep being miserable. I love it. If I will, do you think that Carson Smith has a chance to be the classic closer B-roll? And Tony, I know you're obsessed with Martinez and Price not fulfilling their contracts and getting what was really paid for them, but I think that this whole Nunez-Pedroia thing, I kind of smell trouble down the road because me and you both want Brock Holt on the next like bus out of here. But if Nunez starts hitting and Pedroia and gets all weird, or also remember when Nunez ran down the first baseline and looked like he got shot dead, is he going to be the same player? I'm just curious what you're thinking with the small pieces.
Okay, so look, I wonder about Nunez too. I like the fact that they re-signed him. It's short money. And what I like about Nunez more than anything is the attitude. You know, that game in New York last year where he bunted on CC Sabathia. Sabathia got pissed off about it. And Nunez said, hey, what do you expect? So what I like about Nunez is the edge, the competitive edge. And this team needs some of that. It feels to me there's the guy plays with a little bit of red ass, which I like. I like that about Nunez. So as for Carson Smith, in theory, he should be a big part of their bullpen. That's why they acquired him 2 years ago. Is he the same pitcher? I don't know. Tyler Thornburg, how's he coming along, by the way? We ever going to see him? Either of you guys know? He didn't get in any games. He's still working on the side down there. So you keep holding your breath on that one, too. We'll see how it goes with Tyler Thornburg. That said, the Red Sox have enough pitching. Okay, to me, the issue is not the pitching staff at the front end or the back. They have enough pitching. Whether they can pitch in October is a different story. Sean's in Waltham.
Maz, I fail to understand why you guys at the station, you, Jimmy, you don't understand, you don't recognize that J.D. Martinez and Giancarlo Stanton are the same player over the past four seasons. 17, 16, 15, 14, they're the same player. More plate appearances for J.D., same OPS. I mean, yeah, maybe he didn't hit 55, 60 home runs, but average is there too. He barrels the ball just as hard as any guy in the league. I don't understand why trading for a guy with a huge contract is so much more appealing to you than signing a guy that is literally the same player.
Okay, so Sean, you've given me the paper. Okay, you've given me the numbers on the paper, and I don't know whether you're talking about volume stats like home runs and RBI or if you're going by percentages or what, but I'll tell you what, I'll take your word for it. And honestly, if one guy hit 59 and the other guy hit 45, I don't even care about that either. But let me ask you this question. Take the contract out and take the paper out. Who would you rather have?
But what?
Who? No, no, just answer the question. Take the contract out and take the paper stats out. Watching the two players and looking at them, who would you rather have?
Oh, what? What? Giancarlo Stanton because he's prettier?
No. I'm asking you, who would you rather have? You can pick him for whatever reason you want. Giancarlo Stanton or J.D. Martinez, take the money out of it. Which player would you rather have?
Well, why would you rather have Stanton?
Because he's younger, and I think he can hit it out of anywhere, and I think he's a better player.
Well, fair enough, but I mean, it's J.D. Martinez. I don't care what about the name. I don't care who shows up to the park. I don't care about the excitement factor.
Do you think the Red Sox care about that?
I don't care about home runs. I care about hitting the ball. And when it comes to strikeouts, when it comes to hitting doubles into right center field, no one does it better than J.D. And Stanton certainly isn't there.
Okay, we'll get to J.D. in right field. Stanton's a better player. I can't believe you. And the fact that you hesitated on that tells me everything I need to know. So Martinez is one of the big changes on the club. One of the other ones is the manager, Cora. Murray, did you see these comments by Dustin Pedroia today and John Farrell?
No, I did not.
Now, interestingly enough, this story was written on the website of our competitor. And the initial headline was, Dustin Pedroia, colon, John Farrell wore on players last season. Pretty good headline, right?
Yeah.
I mean, John Farrell wore on players last season. And then I get to this comment.
Yeah, clearly they did. 93 wins. Yeah.
The overall approach every day would wear on guys. It wasn't people not liking each other. We all love each other. Trust me, Pedroia said. There's the mindset of you show up to the yard, you put your work in, you have your approach that day, and you try to execute it. If you don't, guess what? You're going to show up tomorrow and still be in the lineup. We're all going to have confidence in you. We're all going to show up and try to win and accomplish the same thing. That's what wore on guys and made the season that much more grueling. When everything that day was more magnified, it put a lot of pressure on our young guys. It put a lot of pressure on our veteran guys. That's the part when you hear Mookie or Xander say they weren't having much fun. You don't ever have a chance to enjoy yourself if you don't go 4-for-4, throw a complete game shutout, or we don't win by 10. You don't look ahead to the end of what we were trying to build for. Okay, so Pedroia is saying that Farrell put too much pressure on the team. And maybe this is related to Farrell's job status. Maybe Farrell thought he was going to lose his job. He was uptight. He was on edge. And so Pedroia suggesting again that John Farrell's intensity negatively affected the team. Do you believe that?
No, they still won 93 games. What it reeks of is a lack of personal responsibility from Pedroia and the rest of this team, which I still think is inherent in all of them. And it's one of the things that makes them still somewhat unlikable to me heading into this season. And why I don't think a lot of things are really going to change, because you have a new manager and you have a supposed big bat in J.D. Martinez. All the same personalities are there.
So now I think that there's still, maybe the guys in the clubhouse like each other more than I thought they did. Maybe they all hated the manager. Maybe that was a problem. But I don't know if Cora is the answer. And Cora had a good spring. I mean, I think the departure of Farrell alone, the departure of John Farrell alone will help the Red Sox. Okay, clearly the players were done with him. Now, interestingly enough, on this story, again, that appeared on our competitor's website, the headline said, Dustin Pedroia, colon, John Farrell wore on players last season. That he just grinded them down. 2 hours later, the headline says, Dustin Pedroia compares Alex Cora's managerial approach to John Farrell's. I mean, that sounds like a much more boring story, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, I don't know exactly what happened there. Like, I wonder maybe if Pedroia bitched about the headline, or if...
I promise you that's exactly what happened. So, I mean, Pedroia and the editor of that website are really close.
So that's my guess. But the comment does suggest that John Farrell expected too much of his players, and that when guys didn't hit, he sat their ass down, which honestly, I don't remember. I don't remember him being too tough on them, do you?
No, and if this was an issue, if this was a real issue, we would have heard this leak out throughout the season.
Jimmy, go ahead. You look like you're chomping at the bit over there.
Wasn't there an issue with Craig Kimbrell and his usage? Didn't Carrabas have the story that there were pitching coaches or other players who were upset with Craig Kimbrell's usage and the fact that somebody said something to Farrell about, like, Craig, I'm not here to save your job, and this
right.
was in May?
No, very good, Jimmy. Yeah, Carrabas, in fact, did report that someone on the coaching staff had to confront Farrell about his usage of Kimbrell because don't manage him to save your job. Do what's best for the team. Right, because that Farrell was under the gun. So maybe this is the type of stuff Pedroia is talking about. Okay, that was early in the year. It does feel like a little bit of whining, Even so, I don't think Alex Cora is the elixir. I don't. I like Cora. I liked him as a player when he was here. He's a bright guy, and I think he's had a good spring. And when I say a good spring, I think he's made decisions with regard to personnel. I think he's answered questions in such a way that indicates that he has a thought-out plan, which is important. He's clearly given it serious thought and consideration. Okay, so Cora's off to a good start, but again, if you can even say that he started, it's spring training. I mean, if he has a bad spring, that's a bad sign. Spring training should be a piece of cake. The truth is, we're not going to know anything about Cora until the season gets going, and he has to handle some sort of crisis. And again, I come back to, and if J.D. Martinez doesn't hit, and the ballpark at Fenway is not a great fit for J.D. Martinez. Okay, don't kid yourself on that. And even J.D. Martinez knows it, which we will get to when we come back after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We made a lot of changes other than just the manager as well.
Such as?
You haven't noticed that we, I think, who did we bring back? Dana? Any case, anyone else?
No, I'm asking what.
Yeah, I'm just saying we made a lot of. We made, from my perspective at least, we made a lot of changes. I think our approach last year was lacking offensively, and we had issues that the players have already talked about. So I don't really need to talk about it, but I agree with what's been said.
It's Red Sox owner John Henry from early in camp. And that was before the signing of J.D. Martinez was announced and made official. Okay, so the Red Sox had made no real changes to their roster up to that point. And Henry said, well, no, the change in the coaching staff was significant. That was a big deal. He didn't love their offensive approach at the plate. And then says, I agree with some of the things that have been said. Talking about comments made by Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts regarding the fact that last season was not fun. Quote, unquote, fun. And this, again, relates to the comments that Dustin Pedroia is now making, talking about the level of pressure and intensity to perform and produce. And baseball is a marathon. It is. You can't worry about going 0 for 4 or even going 0 for 12. Over a three-day span, if you go hitless in a series, it happens. But over the long haul, if you let the talent play out, you will win. Okay, and the players are saying that the environment was not conducive to that last year, laying the blame squarely upon the feet of John Farrell, who is now gone. Now, that said, if all of that was true, why did they go out and get J.D. Martinez? Now, look, they probably knew then that they were going to get him. But the reality is we all know that that's too simple. And as it pertains to Martinez, I have some specific questions about him that I want to get to. But given it's the first night of the program, I know a number you want to get on the air. And so let's go to Kyle, who's in Boston. Kyle, what do you got?
Hey, so first thing, that last caller who couldn't decide between Giancarlo and JD, I mean, that's just silly. I mean, every single MLB team would take Giancarlo over JD. That's nothing against JD. But my other thing was that, I mean, the way that they were managed by Farrell is they were playing it safe. That's why they weren't liked. You know, they were taking all deep counts, and they were playing it super safe. Yeah, they got 93 wins, but the team just wasn't having fun. You know, when's the last time they put 15 runs on the board? They swing freely and, you know, have the green light. They hit more dings. I think this team's going to be real fun to watch. I mean, they got the talent.
So, Kyle, so listen, and I'm going to let you go because I'm going to try to get in as many calls as possible here. They, to me, it they scored runs last year. That wasn't it. It's the absence of a presence in the lineup. Okay, can one of you guys find out where did they finish in runs scored last year? I mean,
I believe in the majors they were 10th or 11th.
Okay, check that out. Check where they were in the American League.
It's 785, I believe.
Okay, let's check where they finished in the American League. I bet you they were just outside the top five, I think. They weren't horrible offensively. But
sixth.
Okay, they were sixth. So they were in the upper half. They didn't hit home runs, which is the big thing. And there was no one in that lineup that scares you. That's the big thing. Okay, that's the big one. There's no one in that lineup that you say, we cannot put men on for this guy because we're asking for trouble. They didn't have that guy, and it affects your whole lineup when you don't have it. We've seen it a million times. You can tell me all you want about 1 through 9 if they all hit 20 homers. Great. You'll lose ultimately. You're not going to win. It's got to be a guy in that lineup that changes it. Kevin's in Nashua. Kevin, I only ask that you go quickly so I can get to more calls. Go.
Sure. You asked what the Red Sox needed to do for me to be interested. I need them to be more like the Bruins. Last year, even though they won 93 games, I will not take that away from them. I felt like they were on the cusp of losing games. I was waiting for them to lose the games. Bruins this year, I'm waiting for them to win games and close games. And that's just what I need to be excited about the Red Sox. And to your point, they need that presence that makes me feel like they're going to win a game. They need that edge like Marchand has. They need that personality to where they're confident about it. I did not feel like that last year.
Okay, so the personality of the team to me is a big one. And again, I'm not speaking about a face of the franchise or anything of the like. I'm talking about the personality of the team. I've asked this question a million times since this show has been on the air with this group. Okay, with this group in particular. When have you ever seen Xander Bogaerts mad? Or Mookie Betts angry? Or Jackie Bradley? Do they ever get mad? Do they ever get pissed off when a pitcher throws inside on him? Do you ever see him like on the verge of starting a fight? I want more edge. I want more intensity. I don't know if you can teach that. I don't know if you can let it out if you don't know how. But this might just be who they are as personalities. They are generally, it feels, like passive guys. Now, Betts feels to me like he's got a little bit more of an edge and an attitude because he's certainly willing to go to battle over his contract with the team. Colt is in Situate. Go ahead, Colt.
Hey, guys. So I just want to talk about how likable Alex Cora is coming in, being a former player. He's balder than you are, Maz, and I think people like him a lot already. And I think he just screams to me being the guy who's going to go out first or second round. As much as we all like him, he's going to be that guy that just doesn't win in the postseason.
So, Colt, listen, I'll tell you, I think the perception of Cora is actually off a little bit. I mean, I think the ownership likes him. He's a smart guy and all that. Believe me when I tell you, Cora's got more of an edge than you think he does. Okay, I don't think Cora's going to be a softie. I think he believes in having a good environment. I mean, who wants to go to work in a crappy environment? Who wants to show up at work and feel like my boss is an a-hole? Who likes that? Nobody. So why would a pro athlete be any different? Of course he's not going to like it. So that part of it, fine. But believe me when I tell you that if Hanley Ramirez is being a pill, Alex Cora's going to let him know about it because he was that kind of guy as a player. Okay, now it doesn't mean he's challenging him to a fight or anything else. But I don't think he's just going to sit there. He might tell us everything's fine, but believe me when I tell you that I think Alex Cora has it in him to call Hanley in and say, Hanley, get your head out of your butt. I mean, don't you find it interesting that all of a sudden Hanley's playing first base again? Why is he doing that? Who got through to him? And I think part of it's the manager. Quickly, Mikey in Plymouth.
Hey, Maz. So J.D. Martinez, he's batted 300-plus in the past 3 out of 4 years.
Yep.
I think that's what we need. The home runs, I know it gives Chubbs in the pants, but the batting average, we can have him, we can have JBJ maybe stepping up. I mean, I would love to trade Bogaerts back to Aruba for an all-inclusive trip, but also then you have Mookie Betts. Once you have 300 batting average hitters, it's going to drive runs in. It's going to bring people in, and that's all I have to say. We just need batting average. We just can't have 9 hitters going 220 with 14 home runs. That's not going to win in the East going against.
Okay, yeah, but they didn't have 220 guys last year. They didn't have. They need a guy who's going to strike fear in pitchers. Will people stop with this? The batting. Listen, he's going to hit for average too. But the key for Martinez is simple. He has to be a threat to hit the ball out of the ballpark to all fields and hit 300 in the process. Okay, that's what he has to be. What Hanley was in the second half of 2016, except he has to be it all year long. And this, to me, gets back to that question of, is Fenway Park a great fit for J.D. Martinez? I have concerns about it from this standpoint, and I will until he proves that he can hit the ball out of the ballpark to right field. And why I put an emphasis on that is because if you're an opposing pitcher and there's a big spot and J.D. Martinez comes to the plate, where are you going to pitch him? And the answer? Away. Away. If you're right-handed, it's a slider away. If you're lefty, it's a changeup. That's what you're doing. You're pitching him away. You're going to make him beat you to the big part of the ballpark to hit it out to right or right center. So I saw these comments last week, and I think that Martinez said them to everybody. I saw them in the Herald. But he was asked about hitting at Fenway. Did you guys catch these last week? Did you see these comments he made?
Not the ones about hitting, but actually playing in the outfield. We spent some time on Felger and Matador.
Okay, so look, the whole outfield thing to me has been apparent from the beginning. He wants to play the outfield. They want him to DH. And it may end up that way, because if you're relying on Hanley to be in the field every day, good luck to you. That's not going to work. Not with Hanley. So Martinez is going to get his fair share of days as DH. And
whether he likes it or not.
Exactly. Okay? Because Hanley's not playing every day. Trust me on that one. But so the outfield thing, we'll see how that shakes out. It feels like an issue. But then I saw this. Quote, talking about hitting at Fenway now. Quote, I'm kind of on the fence with it, Martinez said. On the fence with it? You just signed here, for crying out loud, for 5 years and $110 million. And you're on the fence with the ballpark? He continues. Most of my power and my strength is the opposite field, the other way. But I do hit balls to left field. It's one of those things where I'm trying to see how it's going to be. A lot of those balls that are flyouts to left are probably gone now. But I think it's going to play fair because a lot of the balls I hit to right are probably not going to go out. I'll stop there. A lot of the balls I hit to right are probably not going to go out. So Martinez himself doesn't know if he has the power to hit the ball out into the bullpens and over them on a regular basis. He did it in Arizona. He did it in Detroit. He questions whether or not he can do it at Fenway. I saw these comments and I went, whoa, you just signed a play here for 5 years, even if there is an out after year two and year three and year four. You just signed a play here for 5 years and 110 mil, and you have doubts about the ballpark? Oof, scary. That is something that should raise your antenna. We'll wrap it up here on the season opening Baseball Reporters next.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
So again, Red Sox named or announced formally, Alex Cora did, his pitching rotation to start the season today. As you would expect, the front three, Sale, Price, Porcello in the first three games. Hector Velasquez will pitch the fourth game in Tampa Bay. And then Brian Johnson will start the series against the Marlins in Miami. Wait till you get a look at that Marlins team. You want to talk about a minor league outfit after stripped down thanks to Derek Jeter? Wait till you see what that could. Tell me if you can identify five of the players on that team come next week. But it's a soft landing for the Red Sox to open the year. Tampa and Miami. I still want to call them Florida. So there's an opportunity there for the Red Sox to start well, although I will tell you that I think the pitching staff may not be at a peak level to start the year. The Red Sox have babied their starters, and I'm not saying it was the wrong thing. It was the right thing because they want these guys to be fresh or fresher in September and October, particularly Sale and Price. Remember, Price is coming off an elbow injury, so that's a thing they got to watch. But they may not be quite as ready for the start of the year as they were in other seasons. So in the case of Sale, historically fast starter, wouldn't shock me if he's not great in the early part of this year, and we'll see how he handles it.
I just wanted, for poops and giggles, I wanted to look at that Marlins roster. I mean, these are names I've never even heard of for the most part. Will that team even win like 70 games?
They're going to be horrible.
Okay, Starlin Castro, I know him, but my God.
The Red Sox might start like 10-0, 9-1.
Well, let's not go that far, Jimmy. Like, we'll see how it shakes out, but they have a soft schedule to start.
Tampa Bay's third game against them is a bullpen game.
No, I saw that. Yeah, that's right. They don't have a starter for that game. They're just going to, you know, treat it like a spring training game.
I mean, it is against Porcello, but, you know.
So, let me just add quickly, I said this earlier and it took me forever to get to it, and we'll give you more details as we go along. There'll be a couple of new features on the program this year, one of which is that we are adding sort of a written online component, a blog element on the website, which we're calling the Baseball Reporters Behind the Scenes, be every Tuesday and Friday. Okay, so typically during the baseball season, Mondays and Thursdays are often the off days, and those are always good opportunities to kind of take stock of where the team is. So we'll be having, we'll add some stuff up on the website there in addition to the podcasts. And we get some other stuff coming too that I can't tell you about yet because it has not been finalized.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of every